Yes.
Oh, Judith, do you remember this? Do you remember this tune from the olden days? It's been years. It seems like years ago.
I've missed you. I have missed you.
Well, I know. I would never say that out loud, obviously. But deep down, the last time we spoke, we were all topsy-turvy because I was up in the northeast battling the snowstorms of Hexham.
Oh, it's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. You had the COVIDs. Now I've had the COVIDs. I had the snowstorm. I had the sciatic agony. I had the toothache.
You were in a state, Jenny.
I was in a last
terrible
time
I spoke to you, you were in a ragged old state. And
the toothache became... the pain from the toothache became something that I didn't know how to deal with. I was thrashing in my bed. It was bizarre.
Oh my God, really?
Anyway, so that was really, really bad. Anyway, when we were doing the podcast together, you had the COVIDs.
Indeed, I do. It's such a relief to get it, having got it out of the way, to be perfectly honest. And then, of course, like two girls with sharing a flat and having their periods together, you got it too.
Yeah, did you start a period as well? That would have been very funny if we'd both started periods at the same time as well. Because I have nothing left in my house. I think they've all gone. You know, like for a few years after you finish
having stragglers,
periods.
Aren't there?
The stragglers. There's a few stragglers.
Oh, long gone.
Some of them have lost their cellophane, but there's a few crumpled boxes. And of course, we've done out Phoebe's room now, so all her old shitty ones got thrown away. Because she can only use cottons, tiny little cottons. I thought, these are no good to me. Off they went. Do you know, when I was doing the show, and I do that that bucket list thing, and people join in, they write things and put them in the bucket.
Which show?
That one woman.
Oh, yes. Oh, you mean that show? Oh, your show. Yes. I thought you were doing a show about bucket lists. I'm so sorry.
Come on. Just because you've had the twins overnight, which we will talk about very shortly. Yeah. There's one woman who just put a sort of thing about old tampons. She said, you know, you can soak them in vodka and put the tampon up your bum and get you pissed really quickly.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I don't think it is, Judith. I don't think it is ridiculous. It's got a lot of nerve endings up your bumhole. So if you just think about it, pure vodka directly inserted. Oh, it's worth a try, isn't it? It's worth a try. It just reminds me of that old story of Stevie Nicks. I don't know whether this is true or not. So I will say, allegedly, Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac, and she was doing a lot of coke at the time, and she'd go on stage and she'd never get through the whole set without needing a hit of cocaine.
She didn't wear
knickers, and she wore a flouncy skirt, and she used to back to the wings. There used to be a bloke in the wings with a pea shooter. Ready to
blow a pea shooter. I thought you. Oh, yeah. No.
Well, how else would you do it, Judith? You couldn't do it with a spoon, could you? You'd have to have a pea shooter.
I love the idea of the flouncy skirt.
The flouncy skirt. Oh, look, and she's doing a little dance. And she's down. Oh, where's she gone? She's gone to the side of the stage. Oh, that skirt's doing a lot of billowing movement. What's going on there?
Wow.
Lad with a pea shooter.
That's a really sexy story. I'd be so proud of myself if I'd done anything as wicked and smutty as that. Do you know what I mean? I'd brag about it.
I mean, don't ask me to be your wingman. Don't ask me to be the one crouching on the side of the stage whilst you back towards me with your arse out, because I just don't fancy it.
Oh, it's an unpleasant
really
image.
Sorry.
I think we better stop.
No, actually, I don't think you're too bad. I'd be much flabbier.
I don't know.
Well, I don't think we should compete over this. But anyway, let's not.
Let's not.
How were you with the COVIDs? And how did you feel when you got that red line?
Kind of shocked, but also a bit relieved, to be honest. I mean, you know, we'd all spent, haven't we? I had 2 years, more than 2 years, thinking, oh God, am I?
Living
in fear. Yeah, oh no! I can't have it now. And then you just think, oh well, I've got it now. Well, fuck it, we'll just get on with it. It is a kind of a bit of a relief, isn't it? But mind you, your body. That's extraordinary, isn't it? It must have been hatching for the end of your tour.
So much so. I mean, I do remember the last show of the tour, and I think it was in Northallerton. I do remember the second half just seemed to go on forever. I felt like I was wearing, you know, those suits of underwater suits that people wear on marathons. Felt like I was wearing one. I was kind of dragging myself down the stage. I just thought, God, if only there was a little lad in the wings with a pea shooter full of coke, I'd be able to get this. But I did it. And then there was this ridiculous snow and everything. And I got back to the hotel, and I had two glasses of wine. I mean, they were large. I'm not going to lie about it. It was the end of the tour. I thought, fuck it. And the next day, coming back on the train, I felt dreadful. I just thought, well, I'm so hungover. And then suddenly my teeth would hurt. Oh, so immediately I got home, I got an emergency appointment with a dentist on the Friday morning. And I went to that. And when she patched me up, she said, oh, no, this is root. You need some root canal. Then my sister denies that I need root canal. She said, no, you just need some crowns sorting out. And I got back from this emergency dental appointment. She had been amazing. And I thought, why am I still feeling so dreadful? And anyway, some lateral flows had just arrived.
Oh,
and I thought, well,
they were in the envelope. You thought, oh.
I thought, well, I better I just check. And I reeled back. 15 minutes later, I tell you, I reeled back from the kitchen table. I just thought, no! It was such a sort of weird caught out thing. I mean, it is like being pregnant, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. I mean,
is.
There
and
are
also,
only a few times in your life when the red line on a stick means something quite significant.
Very true. Very true. Yes, I know what you mean. But also, in a way, it was a brilliant time to get it, but it was also a shitty time to get it because you were about to kind of be off and go to Stockholm. You sent me, by the way, before we leave this, can I just say that you sent me one of the most tragic, needy texts ever, which is saying something, you know, it's quite a field. Quite a field, and that's mutual. It is entirely mutual.
Yeah.
And you sent me one. I think you might have been at King's Cross or something, and it was like, I really don't know what to do. I feel hungover, and I've got this thing, and I've locked it up, and I think I might have this thing that hasn't got a cure for my teeth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to mention it because I don't want people Googling it because I got myself into such a state.
You had.
And it was, it was only when I got to the dentist and I said, I think I've got this. And she said, well, I'll soon be able to tell you. And she gave me an injection in my gum. She said, has the pain gone away? I said, yes. She said, there you go. It's
sorry,
it's
I don't
not
mean
what
to laugh,
you think it is.
But
I honestly, you were in a state. I think I was definitely coming down with the COVIDs by that point.
Oh, I'm sure
I think
you
that
were.
I was very, but I was absolutely on the ground, and because we'd taken the train as well. I had a sort of stand-in tour manager, and we'd taken the train, so I was. I had suitcases and buckets that I had to carry.
I honestly looked
like I was a failed busker or something. And I got in this black cab to come home.
An empty bucket.
Yeah, all these. I had three of them because there are three buckets. And I wept all the way home. And the taxi driver just went, are you all right? I said, I'm sorry, I just can't stop crying.
Are you all right? I love the way you say that. Well, no, I'm not all right.
What do you think?
What's it look like?
Anyway, I had, and you sounded worse than me. When we did that podcast, you had a very nasty, chesty cough, Judith.
Well, I did, and I had it lasted, really, the worst bit was 2 days. I had 2 days where every time I walked into a room, I could kind of feel myself doing it. It was my slippers, and I couldn't be bothered to pick up my feet.
You know, shuffling
all around the place. And I'd go into a room, and I'd say to Mike, Oh, God.
Did he not get it?
No, he didn't get it. No, I think he's had it. If you've seen the way he does lateral flows, it's a wafting towards the nostrils. Do you know what I mean? Or wafting.
Oh, really?
I dig deep.
Yeah, no.
Thorough. We are thorough. Of course we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was quite bad for one day. It was so bad I watched Lorraine. I mean, that is quite bad, isn't it?
Oh, the daytime tellies. Yeah, well, that's all you know, really. You're allowed. It's like the only time you're allowed to watch telly during the day when you're at school. I remember that it was because we didn't have much daytime telly, but if I was ill, I was allowed to get up at lunchtime, sit on the sofa with a blanket and watch Crown Court.
Oh, my God, you know, I haven't thought about Crown Court in decades.
What was her name? Dandy Nichols.
Right,
it was always
back.
My dad. I remember watching one. My dad must have been off at the same time.
Yeah.
And he just did this monologue about how he knew Dandy Nichols was a wrong'un as soon as he'd seen her. And it was just, it gives me great joy just to think about.
It was a great show, wasn't it? I really loved Crown Court.
I don't know why they don't bring it back.
I think they might have tried. And then we got all fancy and it all turned into a scandal, the anatomy of it.
Anatomy
of
scandal, which we shall discuss later. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, no, I know what you mean. But yes, I watched Lorraine.
Did you stay in bed for a couple of days?
No, well, I had a couple, yeah, I had a bit.
I had a couple of days in bed. I did.
I think you were worse than me.
Well, when no, I think it was a doubler though. It was the end of tour and the COVID,
yes,
and
yes,
lots of travel and all that sort of thing. So,
I mean, the thing is, we were all giving it to each other. I mean, I think it might be going down now, but there was a kind of when we got it the week when everyone
was so common. It was so common. I got it on April Fool's Day. The thing is, I got it on the day when all the restrictions and everything were dropped. When, you know, it was the no more free lateral flows, the whole thing, no masks, no nothing,
So we hung on for quite a long while, really.
We did really well. And for those who still stuck it out, I mean, in your family, it's Mike, isn't it? It's only Mike. What about James? Has James had it?
No, James hasn't had it either. No. Who's not had it in yours?
Okay, well, obviously my sister, because she... She's too cross to get it. Yeah, she's too furious to get COVID.
She's too busy to get it now.
She's too busy. And she's just cycled everywhere since, 2020, really. She very rarely goes on public transport. Mm. So she hasn't had it. My sister-in-law, who is a teacher, hasn't had it. Our Penny.
Blimey.
I know.
That's amazing.
Her son, Gabriel, my nephew, who's a teacher, he hasn't had it.
Gosh.
That's odd, isn't it?
It is weird.
But, you know, Phoebe and Tristram had it the week before me, basically. So, there was an explosion of it, wasn't
but
there?
But didn't it make you think that, you know, because we felt quite poorly, didn't we, the both of us? But didn't it make you think those poor people who had it in the first wave?
Oh,
unbearable.
It would have been completely flat on my back for 2 weeks. Thank God for the vaccines and the boosters and everything like that.
I know.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
And also, thank goodness that it had morphed into the Omicron variant, which, genuinely does seem to be
lighter.
A lighter dose. So there we go. We've recovered. And since then, I feel like I've been malingering ever since. I don't know how to work anymore.
What do you mean, malingering?
Well, I've finished the tour. We weren't doing the podcast. I haven't really known what to do with myself. I don't like
Jenny.
Not working. I know, Judith, but it's all right for you. You've got baby twins. Are they in the house,
well,
Judith?
They're in the house.
I think I can smell them. I just have a sense that in the house. Okay, right. I want a picture of where these babies are. Who's looking after them? Because obviously you're doing podcast duty.
Jenny, Judith.
Are you exhausted?
I'm absolutely fucking knackered. They came to stay for the first time last week for one night. And then Sienna said, because it was two carloads of stuff. I mean,
literally, it was a
two-car thing. She said, well, I think if
very
I'm going
to
come, I might as well come
cars.
For two nights. So she came for two nights. So they came yesterday afternoon.
Does she come with them?
You what?
Does she come with them?
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Of course she does.
I thought she just dropped them off with you.
She doesn't drop them off, Jenny. No, she comes
She
comes too. But,
okay.
I mean, you see, the thing is, James has gone back to work. So now what happens? If it wasn't for us... She would basically be doing... Well, they don't stop feeding. I mean, basically, I kid you not, they've both got a bit of a cold, actually, at the moment, which doesn't help. And by the way, there's now a snot-removing device. Which
sounds
actually,
brilliant. We could have done with those in the olden days. Honestly, I never knew what to do. I mean, sometimes I used to try and use a straw and suck it out. I mean, I've done a lot of straw action and pea shooter talk.
I never
this
thought
morning,
of that.
But,
that's really clever.
I used to get really panicky with Phoebe because she used to choke.
It's awful. It's horrible, isn't it? No, but so now they've invented something where literally you're on one end sucking and it goes up each nostril and it sort of catches. It's quite spectacular.
What does it catch
actually.
In?
Well, it's a long tube and
is
then it's
it
got a sort of catchment. Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't think I know what a pipette is, but sort of, yeah. No, it's a long kind of see-through tube. And obviously it would never come so far up that it went in your mouth. Not that I suppose you'd bother, as a mum, you'd mind that much. But
I'm gagging slightly. So you sort of suck the snot out of the nostrils.
I haven't done that yet. That's just one of the
things.
So basically, we do this kind of, we've got this kind of rotor thing going on where Mike does until Well, he did till 3 o'clock this morning, actually, and Ellen. So they do the last feed, and then somebody, like a watchman, stays up, like the fucking watchman. And so she goes to bed. She only goes to bed at 9 o'clock and gets, you know, in a few hours. Do you know, as I'm saying this, she's had quite, I think she's had more sleep than we have. So then she gets up at 3 o'clock, and then I wake up, because I can hear them. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, so I thought, oh, sod it, I might as well get up and do it. So I've been up since five, so I've done a 5-hour shift, that's right, and then she went back to bed. But it's like, it's just nonstop.
Are they asleep now?
Oh, I don't know what they're doing now, I'm off shift, I don't
know. Whose shift is it? Whose turn is it?
Oh, Sienna's in charge now. She's got to have some shift, so she's trying to have a shower, and you know she's got them on the bed and everything. I don't know what she's doing. She's probably doing a bit.
Do you have so okay? Because I know your house, and I'm trying to think of the bedroom Sienna has. Yes. Is it the one tiny. Nearest your bedroom?
Yes, yes. So she has that. It's tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
She has
and
that.
And has she got two little cribs in there with her?
She's got no. She's got something which you will start to know all about. It's called a next to me.
Yes, and Phoebe's like got a, one. She's got one already. Yeah.
They're very good. Yeah, very good.
The fortunate thing is that she's about the fourth of her friends to have a baby, so she's getting loads and loads.
Nice.
Because Tristram's sister had a baby in summer last year. So I've never seen so many baby clothes. Seriously, I'm not buying that child anything. I mean, I'm buying the pram, but I'm not buying... There's absolutely no point. I've never seen
so many clothes.
They go through
the clothes very, very fast. They really grow out of them quickly. But now, listen, you are... Okay. I mean, so... Okay, so we've got it.
So it's a next to bed thing. This is a weird little thing, because it's like a sort of crib without a side.
Without a side, but then you can zip up the side. So it's like kind of a double Moses basket. But it kind of just fits right next to the bed. And so the twins could fit in that still.
Okay.
The two of them together, which is good. And it's not as big as a great big cot. But yes, you've got all this to come, Jenny Eclair. You've got all,
there's only one.
Yeah.
Unless
it's
there's
hard
one
work,
hiding behind the other one. Jesus God. No,
hard
I mean.
Work.
I did see Phoebe the other day because we had the family for the Easter weekend. Honestly, she looked like she'd come in fancy dress. She looked like she dressed up as an Easter egg. She basically, because she's that sort of shape now, she's just like, and she's still got thin little legs. So she's just got this.
Oh, like
great,
Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, totally and utterly egg-shaped.
Wow. Is she quite big now?
She'll never be huge. It's not, because it's boy as well. It's sitting very much like a boy. It's very, very pert. And tight and
sounds
in
great.
Front. It's not spread at all. Like I
very
spread
good.
All the way round. You know, I just had a tree to my I remember suddenly looking at this alien body in the bath and this sort of, you know, this mound of belly that was sticking out.
Know,
this sort of island and then these tree trunk legs. And I just thought this somebody has stolen my body from the neck down and put this absolutely appalling misshapen thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's got that so much. So
and is
anyway,
she well? Is she enjoying it?
She's quite. Yes, I think so. I don't. I'm trying not to. She's so busy. She's got such a big work project on.
Yeah.
That I'm sort of just laying low. But we have got a date in our diaries to go and buy a pram. So
exciting.
I mean, I'm sure that I mean you know all this because you have two daughters. And, you know, you've already, gone into the grandparent mode. But you've got to be so careful because, you know, like Phoebe and Tristram moved into their little house.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so it's that thing of wanting to help, going to help, having all the best intentions, and then just pushing it a bit too far. Do you know what I mean?
What have you done, Jenny? What did you do?
Well,
what have you done?
Just,
come on.
No, nothing really. But I just sort of can't. You know, you go to do a job like she got this desk. If you're looking for desks, this is really nice. It's called the Hairpin Leg Company.
Right.
And you get these desks on, and you can choose the colour of your hairpin legs and the colour of the top of the desk.
Oh, how fantastic!
It's very nice, and they're better
great.
Quality than IKEA. Sturdier than IKEA, probably a bit more expensive, but not, you know, they're about
not
160 quid. It's not sort of, no, not stupid.
Sounds
and they
great.
Come, they came the next day and it was very easy to put up and all that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm highly recommending them. I wonder if they sponsor us. It'd be funny if we got sponsored by a table company. But anyway, there we go. And I just, there was a sort of a box of pictures that hadn't been put up. And I just sort of found two pictures. And I just sort of said, these would look nice in the bathroom. Look, why don't we put them here? And I just, at that moment, I just overstepped the mark. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, Jenny.
So easily done.
I know it's so easily done, and I know I can feel myself doing it. I can absolutely feel myself.
And then it's like, you know, you open your mouth and the words just, it's out. And you can't cram them back in, and you just go, okay, I'm in trouble now. La, 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 la.
The trouble is, I mean, it's all very well, isn't it? But like, it's kind of, it's the rough with the smooth, isn't it? I mean, we are, both of us, really. I mean, we just roll up our sleeves, don't we?
Are you more so than me? You are a complete, possibly. I'm going to say this, you're a bull in a china shop. You are, right, where's my, all right, here's a china shop. I'm just going to go in now. I'm just going to ramp around, I'm going to roam around here for a bit.
I know. I do let myself in for it all. I do. I can feel myself doing it. But yeah, it is.
It's so tempting, isn't it? It's like a scab. Yeah. You can't stop picking it.
I'll do that.
Things have got to be said.
That's what I said. Leave that with me. I'll sort that. No.
Why haven't you mown the lawn? What did you say that for?
We can't help ourselves.
Because I've actually done and Phoebe has accepted it. I've done a painting for the nursery.
Oh, Jenny.
Yes. I'll put it on the wall when everything's done, you know, when it's sort of here and...
And what's and the it nursery off? Is, what's the painting
I've done off? The owl and the pussycat, Judith. Oh. I know. I just thought, well, you know, it's a boy. I don't want to do the boy-girl thing, so I'll just keep it very neutral. So yeah. I'll do a cat and an owl.
Oh, very nice. So did you copy
it's
that?
It's lurid. No, I didn't. I made it up out of my head. Yes, I did. I made it up from my head. And I will share it on the Instagram when the baby's
lovely.
Here.
Acrylic or oil?
Acrylic. I just...
And does she like it?
She has accepted it.
Very good.
I mean, it wasn't with alacrity. It wasn't, oh, God, that's going to absolutely make it. But she was, no, I think that can be put on the wall.
It is awkward, isn't it? Yeah. I remember because my mother used to go to oil painting classes when she retired, and she'd do one, you know, one for a whole term, and then the teacher, I think, would help her out with the difficult bits. And at the end of it, she'd bring it home and then she'd say, look, this is what I've been doing. You'd say, oh, that's good, isn't it? Do you like it? Do you like that? You say, yes, it's very good.
Would you like it? I've tried that. I did a cactus that I thought was very good.
It's a danger.
People said, oh, I like that. I said, you can have it. She said, I don't like it that much. Anyway, so the twins are in the house. Do you manage to get them out of the house? Is it a real sort of operation to get them out into a buggy?
The operation is getting the double... I mean, when you buy your pram, you really must try it out because she's got... It's the operate. You know, I've been shown it. Right, this is what you do and you pull that leader up. It's getting the buggy into the car and out of the car. That's the problem, actually. But
can't you just go for a walk around the village?
Well, you can do, but, you know...
you want to go somewhere
more?
She's
quite ambitious, and we have been into Whitney. And it's very nice, actually. It's very nice to get out of the house. And you can see that she's really enjoying that.
I bet you get loads of attention. I bet you love it. Can I push? It's my turn to push. I'd like to push. But the thing is, as well, when the weather's like this, the babies can go in the garden, which is just magnificent.
I know, it's great, I know. And you know, to get their little feet in the fresh air and everything, it's...
Judith, they don't need as much fresh air as you think that they need. Can I just say that? That's the only thing that I'm going... The only mothering bit of advice. Your fiendish fresh air thing, right? Just watch for their toes turning blue. That's all I'm saying. It's not that warm yet. Okay? And there's a little sock on each toe, I think, on each foot, even.
I'm really excited for you. I mean, it is a lot of work, but it's great.
Well,
as
well. I just hope everything works out okay. Yeah, anyway, listen, on right. sort of because we've got a lot of gossip to, and we must get on to Culture Corner because we've got a lot of catching up. People might still be getting bored of us, but hang on in there. We'll be on to Culture Corner soon. I did a plum compote, Judith. Well, I don't know whether compote. Well, I bought a load of plums and I got them from Sainsbury's. And
fresh
plums, because they looked so gorgeous. Those sort of dark, shiny, round ones, you know, with like a baby's arse, really round with a dimple in it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
And I thought these are never going to ripen. They're never going to do anything. I'm never going to be able to pick up a plum and go, oh, this is a good plum. So I stewed them. and I stewed them with some sugar and a great big glug of ginger cordial. And I think
inspired.
It made all the difference. And some cinnamon. And I tell
mouth
you,
watering.
They are a taste sensation and an incredible... what's it called? When the thing that is it an emetic? Something that makes you poo? I have never needed the lavatory quite so urgently. Anyway, there we go.
That sounds really good. I'm impressed.
Yes, yeah. The ginger cordial just made a bit of a difference. So there we go. Okay, well, I tell you what, before we do Culture Corner, just before we go to Culture Corner, shall we do our purchase of the week, Judith? Have you had
a purchase of the week? This is a new item, isn't it?
Yes, well, I've done. Okay. Well, we've got health niggles and complaints. So, yes, what purchase, Judith, have you made that has lightened your life?
I made quite a few purchases.
Oh, my God.
No, but I tell you the purchase. My purchase of the week is a pair of denim dungarees from White Stuff, which I bought via Marks & Spencer's. You know, M&S have made a really clever decision. Finally, they made a good decision, which is that they're kind of, well, everybody, I'm sure you know, but, you know, they're doing that kind of department store thing so you can get other makes.
So it's like they're putting in other franchises under
Yes, they are. And online, there's a nice selection, and somebody has actually got quite a good eye, I think, buying in stuff that's good for people like us. So I got a pair of, I think they're size 16, but they fit just right. They're a bit cropped. But you know what? They really make me feel a little bit like I felt when I was at university, because I think I had a pair almost identical. And there's something about putting them on. They're so comfy, aren't they?
I've got two pairs of baggy dungarees. Mine are both from the White Company. They're both linen. So obviously, you know, they're very crumpled. But I've had to give one pair to Phoebe because she can't fit into anything. My size 14 White Company dungarees are suitable for a woman who is 6 months pregnant, which, you know, says quite a lot about.
So they're quite baggy on you.
They're baggy on me. Right. You can sort of see her outline in them. But they're a relief for her because you know, she's got those pregnancy leggings with a funny bit and all this kind of thing. But she doesn't really want to spend any money buying clothes because, you know, she's not going to... What's she going to do with them, really?
No, absolutely. And she's not, you know, it's not like she's going to a sort of smart job into a smart office or anything.
No,
so
she works from home normally. Yeah, well, she has to go to meetings. She's got quite a lot on at the moment. And so sometimes she does have to look a bit... She knows what she's doing.
Has she got the baby on board badge?
Oh, God, yeah. It's quite a big one, actually. Yes.
Is it?
Yes. It's sort
They're
of...
They're great, aren't they? They're
well,
great.
yes. And it's sort of like... It's pretty obvious, but because she's small, you know, people don't really pay much attention. Yeah. I think they're important.
I mean, I kind of wish there had been one that said babies on board. You know,
Absolutely. I'd have got a marker pen out.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't suggest it.
Well, you can get badges made very easily, and I might have one with sort of sciatica put on.
Sciatica on board or tired legs.
Well, Tired legs. Give a woman a break now and then. So my purchase of the week was, I've been giving my over 60s Oyster card a real good spanking this week, Judith.
Oh, excellent.
During these
Easter
holidays.
Making up for lost time.
Oh, yes. I'm owed 2 years on that. So, you know, we went to Beckenham Hall Place. It's depths of South London. It's got a lake that people swim in, Judith. Because one of our gang members, said, oh, I swam in the lake in Beckenham today. Tell Judith she'd love it.
Oh, how fabulous.
I thought,
fabulous.
Well, she hasn't got time at the moment. Yes, there's a lake. And it's a sort of little manor house place. And it was a second-hand vintage fair there. And we just saw this wicker chair and it sang to us. And that was it. We had to buy it. It's very low slung. You did say that you...
I saw a photo of it. I thought I wouldn't be able to...
Very 60s. Very 60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bit low slung, but very
beautiful.
You'd struggle.
I just bound out of it. This is my problem. This is what has happened is because the hypermobility, every joint has gone. That's what's... It's really, really... if anybody has got hypermobility and is younger than me, if you're in your 50s or... I mean, I'm not hypermobile. I'm just a bit hypermobile, as is my sister-in-law, and she's suffering as well. Just be very careful how you sit and what you do.
Yeah. Well, you've presumably been told not to sit on your foot like you have done for years.
I am being told that I have to sit with both feet on the ground.
Oh, gosh,
and for me, this is screamingly difficult because every instinct in my body is to pull my legs up.
Yeah, I've seen you do it. I can picture you doing it. And you do it.
Yeah.
I think you do it when you're having ideas and you're doing it. I mean, it's probably, I mean, without sounding
too pussy
about it.
It's part of my work.
Yeah, it's part of your kind of creative process.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, it's hardwired.
Yeah, that is tricky. Anyway, so Culture Corner. We're ready for Culture Corner.
Yes, what have you been up to? What have you been watching?
Well, books-wise, should we start with books or do you want... we've got books at the top of our notes here. So
yes,
I'll start with
books first, yes. Yeah, what are you reading?
I finished At the Table by Claire Powell, which is on a lot of lists.
Yes, I've heard other people talking about that.
Yes, and I understand why it made the lists, but it's got lots of promise. It's the first novel, I think, but it didn't quite do it for me. It's a very small, intimate book about a family dealing with its individual problems. I found it a bit small.
Right.
That's me being overly critical, though, and a lot of people really enjoy it.
It funny as well? I thought, was it entertaining or not? No, not particularly.
It was middling on all things. Middling on all things.
Right.
Think that's the personal appeal. It's so personal, isn't it?
Personal.
I'm loving now a very random choice, which I picked from a list of the Times top 100 books of the 21st century so far, which is a very useful tool. I have it on my desktop for when
very
I need
useful.
To choose books. And it's called Then We Came to the End. It's by a man called Joshua Ferris, written when he was in his early 30s. It's written in the third person plural, which is quite weird, and set in a fictional Chicago advertising agency in the 90s when redundancies are starting to kick in. It's about the petty minutiae of office life. It is very funny
in a very
bleak way.
Yes, and I think it's not a kind of over... what's the word? It's quite an open field, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously
absolutely.
Mad Men did it, didn't they?
But Ricky Gervais with The Office, obviously.
But I suppose
every office is different, isn't it?
And it's a rich vein.
Rich vein. And this is, you know, these are sort of terrible people sort of doing awful things to each other, but thinking it's really funny. And it's just clumsy and it's by turns absolutely dreadful and very funny. And Jeff is just lying in bed sniggering away because he was the art director of the TV Times, or creative director in the end of the TV Times. So there's a lot of that sort of similar in the 90s as well. There's quite a big crossover for him. So very much enjoying that, but it is quite a niche read. What about yourself, Judith?
I finished the Marianne Keynes, the Again Rachel, which it's quite long, I've got to admit, it's quite long. And I think two-thirds of the way through, I sort of slightly lost momentum with it. But it's intuitive. And then,
she's a great writer.
The way she talks about losing a baby, actually. I don't know whether it's happened to her, but it's really just so fantastically well observed and
I couldn't read
clever.
That at the moment, I'm afraid.
Definitely not one for you at the moment. But yes, very, very good, and the narrative really excellent. And I'm now reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
By Tara Jenkins Reid.
Yes, and I think you've already read
I've read
it.
That, yeah. Tara Jenkins Reid, very mixed opinions on her because I think she's written one brilliant book, which is Daisy Jones and the Six. And I think Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is a great trashy read. It's a great beach holiday read.
It's a clever conceit, isn't it?
It's a clever conceit.
Star that chooses to tell her life story and she's not really done it before. The kind of Liz Taylor-y sort of figure. To a young rookie reporter, and I haven't quite discovered why she's chosen her yet, but it's a neat
And it's a good romp of a read as well, and it's got that which I always like, is that sort of glimpses into Hollywood life. I love anything to do with sort of LA and
pre Me Too, Me Too.
Everyone behaving terribly badly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And lots of car crashes. I seem to remember. Yes, I did enjoy that, but Daisy Jones and the Six is her best.
Nice.
And then I've also got the new Lucy Foley, and she's sort of I think she's quite young and she kind of churns them out. This is her third novel in about 5 years.
Wow.
It's a contemporary thriller. She wrote the best-selling The Guest List and The Hunting Party. And this one's called The Paris Apartment.
I know.
Yes, yes. I mean, she's sort of very popular, very popular. And they're very sort of, you know, they're very Moorish. They're very easily absorbed. They're very readable. You know, they're not, it's not great literature. You know, when
you
compare it to the other book that Jeff and I are listening to, you know, it doesn't stand
up.
What
about the advertising agency?
Yeah, yeah. In terms of sort of writerly style and sort of, you know, winning awards for books, you know, it's not going to do that. But it's a good distraction. It's a
lot of people will enjoy it.
In fact, more of our listeners would enjoy the Lucy Foley than would enjoy the ad agency one.
Yeah, because it is a bit niche, I think, that one, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
it is. It's very niche.
Very good.
Yes, that list is very good, and you can probably download it.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
if you get a chance, I'll
pass it on to you. Yes, I will.
Oh, put it on the notice board. If you
I don't think we can. It's a great big file.
So TV, what have you been watching?
Well, you start.
I think you've been doing the same thing.
Yes.
We watched The Split from beginning to end, which I did enjoy. All those clothes, the clothes and the houses. Oh my God. It was definitely property porn and costume porn, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that I never really believed in Nicola Walker and that the guy she had the affair with. Never quite sort of bought into that, really. They never looked right together. And I would say sort of mixed acting. The young girl whose husband gets killed on his bike, I thought was brilliant. I thought she put on a really good performance.
Although I felt very much that I knew that husband of hers was going to die because his character had completely changed. She was suddenly this really sunny, bright bloke being all optimistic and everything. As soon as he got on his bike, I went, oh, here we go.
Oh, you saw it coming. Did you?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with you. I think that she did, I think she was very, very believable. And I found the middle sister slightly underwritten.
Yeah, it was, I think it was slightly patchy, but it was, you know, it was very watchable. I mean, the only other thing I would say about it is the end, the sort of denouement in the last episode was too sort of neat, really, wasn't it? And it was full of message about divorce and what makes a good divorce and why people need a divorce and how to do, you know what I mean? And I just thought, I felt a little bit like, oh, all right. Yes, okay, okay. Leave it out. You know,
There had been some really good plotting within it, and there'd been some really good twists and turns and all that sort of thing. I'm not sure they knew quite how to get out of it at the absolute end. So it did end on sort of, you know, as you were saying, lots of
messages. It was heavy-handed, I thought.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Talking about an equally preposterous TV drama, Anatomy of a Scandal on Netflix with Sienna Miller and Michelle Dockery.
Yep.
I wouldn't like to watch this with my brother because, you know, he's a criminal defence barrister, and he would just drown it out with snorts of derision. It would just be absolute fucking rubbish, all that sort of thing. So I was glad that I could just watch it with me and Jeff, sort of occasionally rolling our eyeballs.
There's some big flaws in it, and also I think, you know, the Sienna Miller, the character, the wife, who obviously went to Oxford but just sort of gave everything up to be a Tory wife, and I just thought, I'm not sure that happens so much these days, does it?
No,
really?
it had a slightly old-fashioned tinge to it.
Yes, it did.
If it had been set in the 80s, I'd have believed it more. But there we go. It was still a great, and you know, loads of people listening will have been hugely enjoying it. So we're very grateful.
Well, it's good. I mean, it is. I mean, makes you think about rape as well and all that, and the way that you can bring, you know, the corridors of power down, really. And I love the character who's the press officer, the prime minister's press
officer. He's in Cheetahs, which is the 15-minute thing that I think you'd really enjoy.
Oh, yes, you mentioned that last time.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good little actor. He's very useful. And I thought that he brought a modernity to it that it was lacking elsewhere.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah,
so MasterChef is back. And Judith, I just find it very comforting. I really do. I don't know why.
I've never really been into it, actually.
I just find it really undemanding. And because I don't cook, it's like watching people do magic. so it's sort of, it's probably more interesting for me as a non-cook, because I've no interest in doing anything that they're doing. But even as a non-cook, I'm sick of poached pears. But, you know, there's me who doesn't cook a thing, sitting there going, oh, not poached pears, not poached pears. Chocolate fondant. Oh, no, please. The thing is, my mum used to poach pears back in the 70s. We used to moan about them then. They were boring. It was a boring thing.
Of course.
Thing.
Everybody did. I don't know anybody who likes a poached pear.
No,
ridiculous
pear.
Thing to do.
You know, absolutely. What would you choose? If you're out, you wouldn't choose a poached pear,
oh,
would
God,
you?
No, of course you wouldn't be the last thing you choose. What was I going to say? By the way, talking about food shows, have you seen the Netflix show, which is it Cake?
Is it Cake? Is it not Cake? Are you watching... Yes, is it Cake?
It's ridiculous. It's
Are you
ridiculous.
Watching it with the babies on your knee? Because that's the sort of thing I think they'd enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, tell you what it is. It's cheap. Oh, my God, it's so cheap, the telly. It's so cheap, there's not even a set. It's just basically a shiny black floor. Somebody swept it. Yeah. And there's three chairs for some of the contestants. I mean, it's desperately, desperately cheap telly.
But it's terribly clever. People are clever, aren't they, what they can do? They sort of make Cake look like other things.
Like handbags or hamburgers or ridiculous things. And, of course, it's like all good telly ideas, isn't it? It's straightforward. And you kind of watch it because you think, well, no, I've got to stay with this because I really do want to know which is
I've
the
got to know which
cake.
Is the cake. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very clever. It's making somebody an absolute bloody fortune because they spent
God, you just
spent,
think, why
you know,
didn't I come up with that? Yeah. There's a brilliant Warhol documentary on Netflix too as well. It's just hours of voiced over tape. And it's you know, equally hilarious and tragic, and it's knockout. It really is. So, and it's
voiced over
long.
Not by him, but voiced over by who?
By an actor that sounds like him, and it's very clever because it sort of falls between documentary and video, and just it's really eye opening and really kind of. I don't know. It's a very cool watch. If you want to feel cool, watch that. Okay.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Right. And we've got a couple of other recommendations, haven't we? That are you watching Bridgerton? I'm not.
I'm a bit bored with it, actually. I mean, I think, you know, the way the presentation of it, the format, the ingredients, you know, that recipe is very wonderful. And I loved it first time round. And now I just think, oh, well, there's no much story, is there? I'm a bit kind of, oh, so what?
I've heard the second series is lacking a little.
It is. I think it is. It's lacking in content, and it's all about the format. So no, I'm very disappointed in that. But I tell you what, I have found on. I think it's on Netflix, and it's called Hacks. Have you?
I've watched
Hacks?
One. Yeah. Me when Phoebe came over, we watched one of those, and we all rather enjoyed it. I haven't gone back to it yet, but it is this old sort of old school female stand up. In the sort of slightly Joan Rivers-y kind of mould.
Yes, yeah, in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
kind of
she's on her
the
way
end
out.
Of her,
yeah,
very
yeah.
much on her way out, played by Jean Smart, who was the mum in Mare of Easttown.
Oh.
And she's a great actress, actually.
Yes, I liked her. I liked everybody in it. I enjoyed it. There's just quite a glut of stuff around at the moment.
There is, actually.
Unusually.
Suddenly a lot to see. Yeah, thank goodness.
Because the other thing that we watched, started to watch last night, is the wife, the canoe and the man. You know,
oh,
that
I'm looking
one.
Forward to that.
Oh, this ever so good, Judith. I mean, telly, considering, you know, the weather's got quite good and usually goes off at this time of year. Oh, we've got a bumper crop. And the Maxwell documentary is excellent as well.
I've really enjoyed that. But I think, that, you know, this sort of trend of making dramas out of things that you sort of semi, you know, you can think, oh, yes, I remember reading about that. Yeah, oh, I can. Is really clever, isn't it? Because
you've kind of invested
into it.
Yeah.
And you know it's not some stupid idea. It actually happened.
And it's true.
And I love that thing at the end where after the credits, they just put a little bit of footage of the real people or some pictures of the real people. I like that. Yeah, I think that's clever. Now, listen, radio, I've enjoyed your little lifetimes very, very much. I loved Leaving Alan was so good, Jenny. The disintegration of this, the man that she's married to from this really sort of you know, mistresses and swanky.
Oh, the hotshot bloke,
please.
Yeah.
To somebody who obviously has a stroke.
He's only got half a head
needy.
Yes, he's only managed to have half his hair transplant done. That's what I like best about him, just having this half head of transplant.
It's an inspired portrait.
And there's a new one tonight, so the third one is out this week. I think it's the fundraiser with a brilliant actress called Victoria Hamilton, who played the Queen Mum in one of the early series of The Crown. She's great. Oh. She's absolutely great.
They're very good, Jenny. You are clever.
The actresses
clever
are brilliant.
Puppets.
Anyway, there we go. Well, nice
gang,
to be back.
Nice to talk to you, Jenny. And
nice to talk to you. And Daisy, you're so glad you're back where you belong.
Yes.
She's looking after
meeting
us.
Meeting our needs.
So, Judith, what else remains to be said? Oh, email address and podcast.
Yes.
Instagram reminder.
So, send us some emails. olderwiderpod@gmail.com. And send us some stuff on the Instagram and have a look at what, you know, the notice board, which is older, wider. And no, oh, God, Judith, I've forgotten again.
Our Instagram account is older, is it and wider podcast?
Yes.
There, thank you, Daisy. Oh,
it's
God,
not even so difficult, is it,
Judith? No, we've had a break. We've had a quite a big break.
So have a nice day, everyone. Look after yourselves, gang. Lots of love. And
yes.
You and I need to meet soon, Jenny. Give me a ring.
It'd be very, very nice to do that. Yeah, okay, really lots like of love, everybody.
Yeah.
Take care.
Toodle-pip. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.